Hello!
And welcome to the Geeks Are Wired podcast, where this week we have new wiring and can actually do a podcast.
So, we're going to go ahead and talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things.
And this week we have...
Ted. To tell you about how to contact us. You can contact us at geeksarewired@gmail.com, or you can give us a call, 801-896-4335. That spells geek. You can check us out on Patreon, where you can set your monthly
goals.
Oh, I ruined it.
It's your monthly goals.
Just monthly goals.
We were doing so well fixing each other's mistakes.
It's okay.
Isn't that?
Dave is great.
Yes, Dave is still great.
Dave
you can
is
also
great.
Be great with him or her.
And who's great with Dave this week? This week, Dave is great with
Dave.
Bill.
Oh. Well, I was going to say, you also can get access to the podcast earlier that way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can get access to the podcast.
There's also a way to be greater or greatest.
To be greater, greatest.
And chat with us on Discord.
Yes.
You can just give us a little bit. Help us out.
This is so random.
Yeah. We also have...
Anthony.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
We have Anna.
Hi. We also have Joey.
Hello. And Ted's here.
Oh, that's me. Hi, guys.
Hi.
There's also a Bill.
Where?
Started.
No, dude.
Actually, we started with Ted.
Yeah, we started with Ted.
You just weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
Actually, you ended up segueing into
the stuff we need to cover.
More stuff.
We sometimes do the intros first.
We are so coordinated here at Geeks Are Wired. We planned it like this. This is all scripted.
That's how we segue.
Scripted. I put the Ted in scripted.
So Microsoft, right?
Yes.
They're continuing with their recent... like usage of letting you use whatever system you want. They've got like the SQL Server and the .NET stuff on Linux. They've got Xbox Live on the Switch. Now they've got games coming to Steam.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep.
You get so their entire idea is be able to play games on whatever you want to play them on.
Man, that's crazy. Like, most game systems or companies are like, nah, you get to play on our system, and that's it.
So that's a big change, actually, is happening. Microsoft came out saying that before E3.
Mm-hmm.
Since E3, or at E3, suddenly there was a lot more collaboration happening with some of the other game...
Who else?
Companies. Google. Mm. But we'll get into that one temporarily. And it's kind of a interesting one. But yeah, we'll talk about that one. So Microsoft is making sure that the games work on the Xbox, the PC. You can get them through whichever. You can have your monthly subscription.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I've got a few games from Microsoft that I have on Steam there, like the Age of Empires games. I've had those, but those are getting old.
So...
I just bought one for Anna on Steam.
I love those games.
Yeah.
So, that was the other thing. So, there's all of these sequels, you know. There's, you know, Elder Scrolls 27, Mortal Kombat 93, and pick your Mario Party 108. And then there's Bring Back the Old Games. They're re-releasing Age of Empires in modern HD.
They've already done that, though.
Yeah,
they've got Age of Empires 2 with HD.
That's what I bought
Anna. They have AOE 3 with HD as well.
I think it was all of them, wasn't it?
They stay extremely true to the original. Like, they have the same bugs. It's just really nice looking now instead of very pixelated.
I mean, Blizzard did that with StarCraft also. So.
Yeah, I think HD re-releases are definitely valuable. And it kind of, like, as long as they're good with the art, it kind of helps that nostalgia because, you know, you go back and you have all these fond memories of an old game and then you, like, turn it on and it's just, it looks terrible and it's not how you remember it at all.
Right.
And so I think the HD remakes definitely help with replayability.
Well, and
plus... Oh, so this will be 4.
So...
AOE 4?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So the thing is that, if the gameplay was good, and it kind of had to be when the graphics were stink,
right?
Then it makes sense to bring it forward with better graphics and really keep the same gameplay as close as you can to the original, because good gameplay is hard to come by. So you know, making like changes to the gameplay doesn't really make sense.
Right. And I think I'm kind of excited for, like, if Microsoft is opening up their catalog, because they've got some cool things, like the Halo series. And so if they release that kind of stuff on Steam, that could be really, really nice.
The first two games came out on PC. Well, not Steam, but PC. Yeah,
so these will still be on PC. I'm not sure if their exclusives will be, but their exclusives are going to be part of a day one release on their subscription package. And their subscription package, you will get. They ended up combining their Xbox Gold and Game Pass. One was $10, one was $5 a month. So you combine them together, and they're 15 still. But you can get games. So you get free games a month, or you're completely free games multiple times a month, and you get access to a large library, kind of like how PlayStation's been doing it for
Did
a while.
Did they already do that?
They had them individually.
Okay.
So you're saying it's going to be like the PlayStation one where you get like weekly games or monthly games?
Well, there's a giant library of games that is just available.
Oh, all the time.
Yes.
Okay.
So way different.
Yeah, the PlayStation one was just like, here's a title.
That's what Xbox was doing before too.
As long as you downloaded it and you stay subscribed continuously, you have access to that.
So
forever.
Xbox Gold, which I think they changed to that model, it used to be if you claimed it, it's yours, mm-hmm. even when you cancel Gold.
Oh, that's cool.
Game Pass was, there's a library of games, you were paying a monthly subscription, you can download, play any of these games. So it'll be available on the Xbox and on PC.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense, though, because the Xbox ports and stuff, like, those are pretty much designed and built on a PC anyway. The Xbox architecture was very close to a PC. Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't an Xbox emulator for a long time. You would just convert the games to run on a computer. So that's pretty cool.
Wait, yeah. For the original Xbox or the new one?
The original.
No, for you.
Right.
Were you talking about the original Xbox?
For which one? I don't know. Which part? Were we
All right, whatever.
The fact that it was X, I don't know. Are you talking about the subscriptions?
Mm-hmm. Because Joey went on to talking about the original Xbox.
So they're available on PC once you have them?
That's for the new games, not the old ones.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
That's why I was trying to figure out where that came from.
Actually, they've been re-releasing a bunch of the old
ones. I know they have, but they've been ports. Like, they've been redoing
them. So right. New ones for sure will be available on both platforms.
Yeah, the new Microsoft exclusive ones.
Gotcha. Okay. That's still exciting, though. They've churned out a lot of games.
Yes, and they've actually... So that'll be the new Halo, which comes out with the new Xbox console, which comes out holiday season 2020.
Oh, man. So that soon?
They're the last one.
Oh, wow.
Wait. Yeah, Nintendo already released theirs. PlayStation's going to be releasing theirs. I don't know when.
Holiday season 2019. And Google's releasing theirs. Oh, yeah, holiday Google's, season. Google's early holiday season 2019.
So wait, is there a new Nintendo console other than the Switch? Or
no.
Switch first under
the new generation.
Gotcha. Yeah, because the Nintendo consoles kind of went through some quick iterations. They kind of flopped on the Wii U.
And they had a major change.
Well, I don't think it was a flop. I mean, okay, I don't think people didn't buy lots. And,
I just
and,
think they didn't advertise it very well.
Yeah, but I think it's definitely was better than the Wii, and it was a good upgrade.
Yeah.
So
it's just on the Wii, they advertised it quite a lot, and it was new and different, and that's what sold it. And the Wii U was kind of
more of the same.
Not new and different, just... The
kinda,
Wii with HD graphics.
Yeah, right. I felt like the Wii U was kind of gimmicky because it's just like, hey, you have a screen
it,
you can hold.
You get an iPad. Well, that was great because you could actually play the Wii while someone else was watching TV.
Yeah. And the nice thing about the Wii U tablet versus the Switch is that the Wii U games that had touchscreen design in place, you were guaranteed to have that all the time. With the Switch, a lot of games aren't going to design for the touchscreen because... You're hooked up to the TV some of the time.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's so, just like leave it on
the
base. The
touchscreen's
kind
of useless.
Is the secondary. The Wii U pad available to connect to the Switch?
Not that I'm aware of.
Nope.
I think the Wii U pad is hooked direct. I think you can only hook it to the Wii U.
That's lame. Oversight. Usually Nintendo's been Well, I guess not. No, that was PlayStation. I was going to say they're better about being backward compatible, but that's just not true at all. So,
the Wii U was the only one that was backward compatible. Yeah, the Wii U generation.
Well, the Wii got the
GameCube.
It had the consoles, the virtual consoles that you could get, mm-hmm. which isn't exactly backwards compatible because you had to buy it again.
Yeah.
But then the Wii U got the would actually play the Wii games.
And what I mean by that is from that generation, Xbox One, because it's part of that generation, couldn't play Xbox games for the longest time. PS4 can't play PS3 games unless you're streaming them.
They still can't.
You have to stream them. Because they basically play on a bunch of cloud PS3s, and if you don't have an internet connection with a low latency, you can't play them.
So that's something else that also came along, is the everyone is doing all the cloud stuff.
Do they realize that we don't have internet?
Okay, so
I don't think they do.
All right,
I mean,
Google identified that. Microsoft stated that you either will be playing from your local console or the Microsoft server farm consoles.
Yeah,
because they've had that ability for
either or, but it's just frustrating when you're like, well, this is going to be like you have to have online stuff to stream the game and blah blah blah, but like a lot of places in America the internet just sucks.
All right, I guess.
I mean, it just flat out sucks.
Also data caps. I mean, yeah. Like our internet, like our big internet provider here, Cable One, I guess it's Sparklight now.
Whatever.
Their base plan, $45 a month, is like 300 gig data cap. And if you're streaming like the entire video stream from that game, you're going to blow through that cap pretty quick.
Plus your inputs and outputs. Hey, like you're doing
they do
your...
have unlimited, finally.
They
you
do.
You just got to pay more for it.
It costs an arm and a leg.
I don't know.
It's not much more now.
Some of their plans are okay, but
so what,
but they're late and their ping times still suck.
Yeah.
So what Google said that they so we'll just jump into that one. We'll be all over the place with all the consoles. How about Google said at 35 meg download they can provide you 4K and high streaming and everything.
What about latency?
They said they took care of it. There you can play Mortal Kombat, a multiplayer game, at that. If your internet starts giving you issues and you go all the way down to like 5 meg, you still get 720.
So the thing with that is if you have 35 megs a second, that you'll probably you'll hit a terabyte pretty quick, right? Like 60 hours or so.
My thing is you can have a gigabyte download, but if your latency is more than 80, you're not going to be able to play. You're going to start getting motion sickness and stuff like that.
Well, yeah. It's not even motion sickness.
Input
it's just
lag.
It's just yeah, way you, bad you, input lag,
you,
yeah.
Yeah, you shoot at someone as soon as you see them. And
like, with some games, you could adapt. But yeah, FPS is, like, for multiplayer, no. Not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, if your latency goes up too high, it's just
that's
gonna,
why
it's going to hurt you.
Well, it's not even MPS. It's like right, like an adventure game or whatever. You're running towards a chasm and you jump. If you don't jump at just the right time,
yeah. Sometimes you can like compensate for that. Like your brain will do it, but then sometimes there's just they design those games so that you have to react as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. I'm snapping my fingers here, but you can't hear it. And
no Dark Souls for you.
Yeah, no Dark Souls, right? No, it doesn't matter. Dark Souls will buffer your input, so you roll off a cliff 10 seconds later.
I was wrong. 10 is the minimum recommended. They can do 5, but it's not recommended. So 10 meg, but that's still 50 frames per second.
Latency? I'm not seeing anything about latency.
I know they didn't want to talk about it.
That's what I've been wanting to know as soon as this kind of, like gotten announced.
But they tested this technology back in 2018 with Assassin's Creed on Chromecast, which is also interesting. You can buy their package, which is a controller that looks like an Xbox, and a Chrome or a
like a full Xbox with the. Oh, you mean an Xbox controller? Oh, you
sorry,
be
Xbox controller.
That looks
sorry,
more
you're right.
Like the Pro controller,
the Wii U Pro, or the Switch Pro.
Okay, so but there's that, and it's the 4K Chromecast.
Clearly, Bill doesn't game.
I just put yeah.
Also, if it looked like an Xbox controller, the analog stick would be where the D-pad was. Just saying.
Yeah, oh, yes, you're right.
So it's actually closer to a PlayStation controller.
Yeah, like a DualShock.
But it, no, in all actuality, it really does look like the Switch or Wii U Pro Controller.
It's nice, though.
I have no opinion.
How much does it set you back for one of these controllers? And, so all you need is the 4K Chromecast and one of these controllers?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
And then you can buy the games, and you can stream them, or you can subscribe to their package. If you get in the Founders setup, you spend $130, and that gets you 3 months subscription, plus 3 months subscription to give away. And then if you just want, if you already have the 4K Chromecast, you spend $30, I think so it was, for just the controller.
So can you give this prescription to yourself?
So wait, $140, does that gets you a controller? Does it get you a Chromecast? $130,
yes. The Chromecast 4K.
How much is the Chromecast 4K on its own?
It's normally like $70 or something. So that's actually a pretty decent deal.
Okay.
Especially with the prices that controllers are normally going for lately. Like, you're looking at $70 a controller.
We should just make our own.
And it's $10 a month for the Stadia. That's the name of their console, the system that they've done, their technology.
Oh, $10 a month. Base one too.
Are you sure it's not Stadia?
Stadia. You're right.
Have you
Stadia.
Heard it pronounced?
Yes, you are correct.
I was just thinking it kind of sounds like Stadium.
Stadia. You're right. The free one is buy the games. That's literally what the free one is.
I see.
So you pay for the games, you get access to them, and then all these are going to be running in the cloud, the though, right?
Correct.
Okay, so everything is cloud-based.
I'm slightly... I support the the evolution of technology, but I question how long it'll be around, because there was a movie service that actually had these really, really old classic movies.
Blockbuster?
CleanFlix?
No. They just had these...
Hollywood.
They almost went up there, pretty much.
AngelVid?
Actually, there is a company that burned down that lost a lot of original tapes of music not too long ago.
Yeah.
But that's a side note. So, I guess having this in somebody else's hands, what's the guarantee that I bought this game? How long do I get to play it? Do I get to play it for 100 years? I can go dust off of my VHS and throw it in.
When was the last time you did that, Bill?
Dust off the VHS?
So this is the thing.
Also, you got to worry about data rot as a thing, too.
Like,
on those things.
Yeah.
But I can convert it, and I still have a physical copy. I have my DVDs. I have my Blu-rays.
It might be too rotted by now.
So
those CDs and DVDs don't last forever.
In the example of gaming, I have a Super Nintendo. I have an Atari. Those things are 30 years old now, and they're still chugging. And if I want, I can dust them off, I can fire it up, and I can play it.
You will probably have to replace the battery in the cartridge, but that's besides the point.
Depending on the cartridge. But so it's a valid argument, but I wonder, like, I have, Anna and I have a large collection, not a large collection, but a collection of games and stuff like that. And the thing is we don't play them that often. We do play them from time to time. I think Anna plays them more. She plays, like, Neighbors Ate My Zombies at least a couple times a year.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors. What did I say?
Neighbors Ate My Zombies.
Well,
it's the sequel.
That would be an intriguing twist.
It's the revenge. But anyways, my point is that most of the time when you have these collections of games and stuff, you haven't just have a collection of games. You don't have them to actually play them because...
My Steam library.
Oh, yeah. That's a great point. Like, I've got how many games on Steam and how many times?
Have the option to.
I actually made a spreadsheet at one point that cataloged all the games I have and how many I had played. I've played probably 10, 15% of them.
So let's say you buy a copy of Zombies Ate My Neighbors, and 5 years later they say, we're done supporting this, and your cartridge just stopped working. Would you be mad?
But I have a physical cartridge in that.
Yeah, so we have a physical controller, and we paid for the game.
We didn't pay for the game. We paid for the service associated with it.
No. You can pay for the game, or you can pay for the service.
But you're not paying for the game. You're paying for access to the game. This is a different thing. You're not paying for the physical media. You're paying for access to the game. What are the games
cost?
So
when I buy, they haven't released pricing.
It's the same thing. You're paying for access to it, not...
Let's say Destiny 2. I drop the $60, buy Destiny, buy the expansions, buy all the stuff. I drop my money. I have bought the game. If I bought that in a physical form, I physically own this game.
Right.
And exclude the part that it's an online game. Maybe I should pick something that's not online, requires the servers.
Right. Well, that's fine. It's a valid point.
Shit, what about if you buy it, but you download it instead? Because it's different from this, where it's all in the cloud. Yes. Like, there's, like, three
because
different
we're
levels
dealing
here.
With Chromecasts here.
I think my bigger point, I've got 2 points here. First off, when you buy a cartridge, it's different
or a CD
than buying a download or a CD or, you know, what have you.
A physical item.
You're buying the physical media, and if that breaks, you no longer have access to it.
Correct.
Right? So there's pluses and minuses to both, and, you have to expect that if the company goes under, if they decide that no one's playing that game, they're going to take it offline, and that's just an unfortunate thing. But I don't think that just because we paid for it that we're entitled to it forever. I don't think that's right, because if we
need to play with it,
you're done. No, you're done.
I don't know if you guys heard that now, but I apologize if the big buzz came in. Anyways. My point is that you're paying, you know what you're paying for when you get it. And, you know, yes, if I buy something and then like 2 weeks later it's no longer available, I'm going to be pissed and I'm going to want my money back. But if I buy it and I get a sufficient amount of value out of it by playing it, whatever, then I'm done. And that's fine. I've got the value out of it, you know. But where I have these cartridges, these old cartridges, you know, most of them, never gonna play again.
My main concern here is, as like, I really enjoy retro games. Like, I get nostalgia from them. I enjoy collecting them.
Right.
But if like a kid today, if they, you know, grow up playing on this console where everything's in the cloud, right, and they grow up a little bit, the next one comes out, they stop supporting this one, those games might just be gone forever. If there's not a downloadable option of them anywhere, then those games could just cease to exist.
They could, but the video game industry has shown that they understand that there's a demand for retro games, there's a demand for old games. And I don't think that that's going to go away. I think that there's still going to be that retro whatever. But that is a good point, because this is a great way to keep people from stealing their games.
Right, but
and downloading it doesn't stop them from pulling it. Amazon's proven this many times. You have the books on your Kindle, and they go, oh, we lost the rights to have it in digital form, or there was an update, zoink, or suddenly your book has extra words in it that weren't there before.
And while there is a demand for retro games, that market could be filled by just the popular titles. And so, like, if there's a less popular title that you enjoyed on your Super Nintendo or whatever, it may never get a re-release. They're only going to be doing the big ones. And if one of those gaming companies goes under, Nintendo may not have the rights to bring that back out later. And so that game might just be gone forever, except for the physical copies that existed of it. And so if there's no download option, no option to run this off the cloud, these games could just poof, and then they're gone.
But with that, even with companies being bought off, like Microsoft did have much of Sony's stuff. What if the Sony library goes to, or not Sony's, Sega's? Had a lot of Segas. What if Segas goes to Sony's?
Yeah, it can cause a lot of issues for the future.
Yeah, it could, and they're going to have to work that out. But I think the point is that you should buy these with the knowledge that you might not ever get to play them again. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, they should probably provide a disclaimer of some sort right up front to
I'm sure it's
let
in
the consumer
terms
know.
Service.
I don't know. This isn't the only industry that has this problem. Yeah, you're smart, Bridge. Your old bridge has lasted 30 years. Your smart bridge will last 5.
Yeah. I've also had my internet cut out last week for 2 days. Oh. And the most frustrating thing in the world was my Google's, like, I'd give them a command, they wouldn't do anything, and then all of them would respond, because apparently they coordinate in the cloud, mm-hmm. which they couldn't really, like, reach. And so offline games would be great for when your internet's out, but if everything's online, you're SOL.
Well, you definitely are, and that's why you should be mindful of the type of things that you're getting. Like, you know what you're getting. But, like, the thing is that I have right here in my hand right now tons of offline games. All I have to do is make sure that my phone's charged.
For now, until your phone goes to cloud only, too.
Or, no, like I said, they can pull them back. That even though you download the maybe a PC, maybe something that you can get it, download, and keep it offline. The moment you're, like I said, Amazon has pulled full-on books back, going like, sorry, though.
iTunes done the same, and mm-hmm. iTunes has also done that with music.
Yeah.
And movies. And so I mean, if you purchase something on iTunes, like you purchase a movie, you'd expect to have access to that going forward, right?
I think this is a natural progression of the thing that started with Napster. Even before that, it started with the VHS is really where this started, right? Because, so, back before the VHS, they had, well, even, maybe even like the reel-to-reel, but it wasn't as ubiquitous, right? But the thing is that you couldn't own a movie very, very easily. Like, you had to have the reel-to-reel. You couldn't really copy it. Like, it was tricky. But then all of a sudden, you got the VHS. So then you have all this fair use. But then you have, you know, the movie studios and that saying, you know, what about our intellectual property? And they're saying, we need to be able to protect, and you can't copy this and just make free copies of it, because we expect to make money off of this stuff. We put this out to make money and do that. And so, you know, there was a lot of fight back and forth, and they determined what was fair use, what wasn't fair use. And that moved forward into the Napster era, where, you know, the music was just free to everybody there for like, what, 5-10 years, or basically music was just free, right? I mean, it shouldn't have been, arguably, depending on, you know, what the way you look at it.
Look at the radio. It's free.
You can't choose. You could not choose what song you wanted to listen to.
But you could record it.
You could.
And then
you could. But then you had to deal with all the stuff that came with that. But there's a difference, because if the song you wanted was not played on the radio, then you didn't get it. And you wouldn't know when it was going to be played on the radio. So you had to sit next to it. I mean, it was more of a hassle. And so people would go out and buy it. They'd buy the CD. They'd buy the tape. But the Napster comes along, and now all of a sudden, music is just free. Like, as long as you have an internet connection, music is free. And now, like, you know, there was a lot of hubbub about that, and, you know, they came to a good middle ground. But the bottom line is that if I was a video game producer, or if I was a music producer, and my whole goal was just to make as much money as I can, I wouldn't put any of them out in physical form. Because then you could copy it. I would keep it all streaming. I'd just do all of it streaming. So, and that's their right. And it's our right as a consumer to say, no, I want a physical copy that I can use. And so you've got to be mindful. If you're going to do this, know that it comes at the price of, you're not going to have this in the future. And I'm fine with that, because I don't play those games anymore. Maybe one night for nostalgia, it's fun.
Yeah.
But for all the time, it's not something that I do.
My thing with physical media is that I enjoy actually picking it up. Like, even though, like, on the Switch, their cartridges are just like little tiny things.
Yeah, it's like a little
but
tab of acid.
You still have to.
They don't taste like that.
Yeah, don't lick it.
They're bitter.
Yeah, but you still have to go up to the console, or if you're playing it in portable mode, you still have to take out the cartridge, flip open the book or whatever you're storing them in, put it back, get the new one, put it back
in. Wait, you put the thing back where it came from? Don't you just throw it on the table and grab the next one?
That's how you lose the tiny cartridges.
They're very tiny now.
They're very tiny. But, like, that's fun to me, and then I can also just, like, go through it and actually physically see what games I have to play. And I know you can do that on the UI, but it's not the same.
There is. That's the same argument people have. Like, I like records better. I like books rather than ebooks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get that.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have a large collection of books that I'm probably never going to read again, but I like having them around. They're comforting to have around, but you also have to be careful not to become a hoarder or whatever. But so, I mean, I can see both.
Yeah.
And I think it's just important that you have to realize that if you're choosing to purchase streaming media, it's temporary in its very essence, and you can't expect to have it forever.
I was going to go back to Google. I know, like, we kind of sidetracked, but I kind of got us on this. But the other thing also with Google's is you don't just need to. Yeah, that's if you want to play on your television. You can still play on. They actually went with computer and tablets through Chrome.
So since it's streaming and it has nothing to do with your hardware, correct, you can play it on pretty much anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool, and I like the barrier to entry, how low it is. You know, you got to have a Chromecast. Most TVs have Chromecast built in.
But it's the 4K.
I mean, most TVs are 4K now, so you're going to have a 4K Chromecast built in.
I wonder, like, my TV has a Chromecast built in, but it doesn't. It's branded on the TV, like when I got it, it said Chromecast built in, but nowhere in like the menus or anything that does say Chromecast. And there's really no place to get like apps or anything like that in it. Like I've looked, I wanted to get
that's because
the HBO Go app on
Chromecast.
It,
but... All it really is you turn it on, it displays pictures or whatever, and then you cast to it from your phone.
No, I get it, but that's the Chromecast, but the built-in Chromecast for it, like my TV has. Like my smart TV just has like Netflix and Amazon,
which
and Hulu, and
those
Crackle
are probably provided by the TV itself.
Probably, okay. But there's nothing that says that it's a Chromecast or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's very abstract, and so how to do that with the phone or with the thing? Maybe it would just work. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm assuming. So the Chromecast, all
go
it
ahead
does
and buy one and then bring it to my house.
So
we'll try it out.
With Chromecast, you literally just throw a link at the Chromecast,
right,
and
right.
A URL, and it's going to grab that stream and it's going to start streaming it. And that's right. All the Chromecast does. And so if you, I'm assuming how this will work is you'll have an app or something on your phone, and you'll be able to throw a game at the TV.
They said through the Chromecast. That's something else. They did not say phone. They said tablet.
Whatever. But
they didn't actually
Chrome
go as small as phone. They only went as small as tablet.
Right. But what I'm saying is to start the stream, it's probably as simple as your phone is going to say, I want to play this game. And
I don't know about that. Because where you have a controller, I think you might be able to control it directly from the TV.
The Chromecasts do have Bluetooth. And so I'm assuming that you're just tethering there. So then.
Well, I'm assuming the controller is just Bluetooth.
You know,
and then you can control
why would you need to do that? Why not have a stream that's coming at you?
I know.
And have your thing connected to the Wi-Fi, just talking to the server.
I bet after you set up the controller, pressing a button on the controller would open a stream to your library through the Chromecast.
Yeah. Right, but what I'm saying is we don't need to talk to the TV and make the thing send the thing to the TV and the TV send it to the internet. Just make your controller send it straight to the internet and your stream reacts appropriately, is what I'm saying. So you don't need to Bluetooth it to your TV. That's an extra unnecessary step. You're just going to broadcast. It's going over the internet anyways. Why have an intermediate device?
Mm-hmm. Bluetooth is lower energy. And so the Chromecast is already talking to the internet. And so your controller will last longer if it's not doing Wi-Fi all the time.
That's an extra step, an extra latency, though.
It is. They might be able to chop some out. But at the same time, if you have two devices on your network instead of one, is it going to cause more network latency or network lag?
Where they haven't been talking latency that much, either they just are ignoring it, or I'm wondering if they have some kind of like input prediction or something.
It's just going to start making you go diagonal.
Yeah. Like the same thing the old multiplayer games do. And even the new ones.
I was talking Overwatch.
Still.
The old ones would just... You were here, and now you're 4 feet from here. Mm-hmm. The new ones are like, you know how you were walking, and you kind of looked like you might want to turn right a little bit? Mm-hmm. We went ahead and did that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you didn't want to do that? Oh, bummer. Well,
yeah,
you're here
Overwatch
now.
Overwatch is like that.
Deal with it.
The older games, if they predicted you were going that way, when actually you turned left, you would just teleport.
Right.
Because it matched up with what the client was, which is why lag switching was a thing, and why it worked. So, lag switching was where you, for people who don't know what it is, and maybe I'm explaining it wrong, but you were hooked up to a switch, you turned it off, moved somewhere, turned it back on, and then you were suddenly there, and the person shooting you isn't really shooting you.
So just
and then
like
you could shoot them.
Cuts your connection a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do like the idea of the cloud only because it makes the barrier to entry for gaming so low. Mm-hmm. You need a Chromecast and a controller. It's like $130 for that premium package. And then you've got your system. Like, I mean, the cheapest console right now is like a Switch, right? And those are still like $300 or $400 for one that comes with a game.
Well, it depends on if you're... The 3DS is still supported, so I think that's technically the cheapest one.
Yeah,
right now.
But I'm going for like a big screen type console. Okay. And so if this can compete with big screen type console for $130, that is awesome. That's impressive.
Which will also be interesting because the other consoles haven't released their price points yet. If they're full on computer size consoles instead of these little teeny tiny things, because PlayStation, even though they're coming out like a month, if anything, later than the Chromecast is, they're like, it'll be an attractive price for gamers. It's like,
yeah. So you're still looking at $500-$600 probably, especially on like the Xbox and the.
I'm still kind of hoping they do pretty good. I kind of like.
I do like the idea of having a console. Yeah. Like
Like the physical hardware.
I'd be kind of sad if that just died.
Yeah. I turned on my Xbox. I've been having issues with my Kinect. Went to watch HBO, killed it, went off to Google, told Google to watch the HBO. I didn't want to touch the remote.
For media streaming, absolutely.
Well, that's why I liked Xbox, is because they were such a neutral player. It's like the Roku. I can just say, hey, play, and it just takes care of it. Now that Google and Amazon are playing nice, it's not working yet, but hey, play this thing. Great, I'm out.
Man, that's what I really want, is Amazon Prime on Chromecast. Soon. And is it going
to
happen?
Yeah, they made a deal. They're saying it's supposed to be working sometime later this year.
It was like 3 years ago, some guys made a thing called Primecast, and it was an app that you could cast Amazon Prime to a Chromecast. It was there for like 2 hours before Amazon murdered it.
Well, it's because you're a developer. You know, it's really hard to get this software to work.
It's really hard to get it to work. Again. Amazon won't let it.
Or vice versa.
So, I think it's really nice. Like, so, having all of it in one place is really awesome, because, like, if I wanted to watch Despicable Me, my alternative option, like, my first option would just be, sup, G?
Yeah.
Go ahead and play Despicable Me. Right? And it'd be like, oh, I found it on here. And we're going to go ahead and cast that to your TV. We're good to go. Boom. And it doesn't care any account that I have hooked up to it. It just goes. Versus, well, I don't know. Does Hulu have it? Does Netflix have it? Does HBO have it? Does Amazon have it?
Xbox was that good. You say it. If anything, it pulls up a list of, like, I got here, here, and here.
My Google does that.
Yeah.
So my Google, I told it, you know, play Chernobyl on the living room TV, and it's like, cool, HBO, here we go. Boom. I was like, play Supernatural. It's all right, Netflix.
Occasionally,
here we go.
I have hiccups where it wants to point towards YouTube instead.
Yeah, I do. And I think there's a real problem with the. I'm thinking about disconnecting YouTube from my Google, because I guess it's because YouTube's Google. That might be more tricky than I think it is. But, like, I'll say that I want to watch something, and then it shows me like garbage from YouTube that I just don't want.
Did you ever say the words "Hey" and Google together and at all during that?
No, he said "Hey Jeeves."
Oh, you did say it.
I said "Hey G."
I
was very careful about what I said.
I wasn't paying attention, and then I thought of that. So you're good then.
Interesting, I was watching Meet the Robinsons, and they said the word goob instead of Google, and it worked at my house, and then I went to someone else's house and tried it, and it didn't work. It was very interesting.
Do you have any secondary languages enabled?
I don't think so.
Google patches those as they become apparent.
It still works at my house.
Oh, man. So usually what they do, though, is if a commercial or something is going to trigger it, it'll work for like an hour. And then they have...
If it happens a lot, I can
see they
that,
get so many, like, simultaneous triggers.
That are
and so
identical.
They can probably identify it from just machine learning.
Right.
And then it'll take that waveform.
I don't think people were watching Meet the Robinsons all at the same time.
Yeah, probably not. So that one might...
And it might have... It might work for you just because it might learn to change
the pronunciation. It has something to do with the way that I say the word Google, which is similar to the word goob, apparently, but... I thought it was pretty interesting that it worked at my house, but not at a friend's house. Because I was like, check this out. You can just say goob instead of Google. And you couldn't. And I looked like an idiot, as usual. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Do you have one in the other room still?
Yes. Okay. And he's tried it. I was the person he tried it with.
Oh, it didn't work?
No.
It's okay. I can't get mine to trigger half the time anyways. So even when I say the right words.
I'm liking them a little better than Amazon's assistant.
The Matame always works for me.
I say, like, turn on the Chromecast, and it's like, I can't find the Chromecast.
What I mean by that
is
it always triggers for me. It doesn't always work, but it always triggers for me, at least.
My Google hasn't been triggering lately as well as it should.
Had issues. My Echoes were giving me lots of issues.
It was super frustrating. Bottom line here, though, I'm kind of excited for it, because I'm having a hard time buying the new consoles when I don't even play them. Because I bought a PlayStation 4 in January. I got like halfway through Grand Theft Auto 5, and I played like the first several sections of Spyro, and that's it.
Like with my,
I just don't.
The same thing with my Xbox One. I got a nice like Halo 5 edition of Xbox One, played Halo 5, got the Tomb Raider that was exclusive to Xbox One at the time, even though like 3 months later it was going to come out on PlayStation and PC. And then it's basically sat there. Occasionally I accidentally turn it on with my foot and it just sits there.
Yeah.
I'll probably buy, like, I think Nintendo, I'll keep buying their stuff because they always have, they do really good. PlayStation, I might still. Xbox has been underwhelming because they didn't have any exclusives this generation, or they did, but they were terrible. And
well, Master Chief in my opinion, was awesome. I know, I'm just kidding. I don't even think I won it. I installed it, and I think that's as far as it's gotten.
My biggest thing with the Xbox, and I don't know if this has changed since I've last used it, to load up anything on there, even to load up like the side menu, like you press the home button out of a game, took forever. Everything was an app.
See, I don't know if there had
that and on the 360, so maybe it's been fixed, but on the 360, you press buttons, they loaded really fast. Right. So.
Yeah, I think I might just be getting too old. I'm just extra things.
Yeah, like, different priorities.
Like, I never thought that I'd stop gaming, but like I literally, if you don't count the phone, which a lot of people don't, although... What
I have no
half of all games played, video games played at this point, are played on the phone. So I don't know that you can't say you're not a gamer if all you do is your phone. But anyways, if we don't count games on the phone, then I haven't played a video game in probably 2 or 3
Come
months.
Come on. Microsoft even went to Apple's convention and showed off Minecraft.
Minecraft AR.
Minecraft World.
Minecraft
World.
Is it World?
It's World.
Earth.
Earth, you're right.
Is it out yet?
No.
No.
Though I figured it out, yeah, I was able to
fit in. Will it have pre-built buildings?
No, and I'm not sure how they work. I think it basically is going to be, you have this thing that you're all working on, and you plop it into the world. I was really hoping they would be set in a specific geolocation, uh-huh. and you had to go there to build it. Because in my head, it would have been amazing to go to like the park and then see all the little kids working on this big, huge
that would be really cool
thing. Or you go to, like down Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Strip, and there's just a bunch of Minecraft builds up.
Right.
Now, like if they're not going to do that and it's just a personal thing.
Could you drop anywhere in the world?
To me, well, it looked like it was world-based. And so like in their
commercial. In the trailer, yes.
Yeah, they've got that girl like.
But,
skateboarding all over town, and there's all these pre-built things.
I hope that's the case. I realize that if they do that, they open themselves up to people just building a bunch of...
swastikas. It's just going to be swastikas everywhere. If it's open to everybody, it's just going to be swastikas everywhere.
And I wonder how they're going
to
counteract
really
stuff like that.
Because they're really easy to build in Minecraft, and people are jerks. You can't have a server open for more than a couple hours before someone comes in and just puts swastikas all
know.
Over
we
it.
Never built any swastikas when we had our server.
Well, but it wasn't an open server.
Oh, that's fair.
With an AR game, though, I bet you could, like, click on a building, right? So it's going to be a distinct structure or something that's built within a certain time frame. They can identify that with code, and then they could probably have a reporting thing. So, like, hey, this structure is bad. Like, get rid of it.
So how would you define a really, really tall tower with a couple bushes between a tallywhacker?
So you'd have to decide where to draw the thing. If it's
okay.
if it's clearly phallic, you could it could be on a report basement. Maybe they could have some player moderators, you know? The parents of the kids. They don't want their kids building or playing on towers like that, so
building giant mushrooms.
Exactly.
Yeah. So a feature that's only gonna be in the Apple version, at least in the beginning, is they have what a green screen is. You guys do?
Yeah.
So green, for people who don't know, a green screen is, it's a green field, green screen, like green background. You stand in front of it, and then they use the green to make it transparent to have backgrounds moving behind you or whatever. They can do basically that, but out in the middle of the world, it captures the person that you're pointing at, and basically makes a green screen appear behind him. Like, I'm trying to try and, like,
it uses depth of field to
It basically uses depth of field to cut out the person and place them into the AR world. You described it way better.
And so is this only going to be a feature of that new Apple phone that's got, like, the three cameras on the back?
No, they're just using ARKit.
Okay, so the basic ones that are out today.
So, it will be exclusive to iOS just because it hasn't been built into Android. But I'm sure that they'll get that eventually. Not that I think this is a gimmicky feature. I don't think people use it that much, but...
We'll find out,
yeah. I don't think
it's
I'll
like taking pictures of your Pokemon.
I didn't used to like, but I'm actually enjoying it.
I didn't. I've only used when Detective Pikachu came out.
Oh, really?
But we should probably wrap things up with famous last words.
I can go first.
Yeah, go for it.
So, just a classic retro throwback. Super Mario Brothers, like, one of their best quotes is, "Thank you, Mario, but our princess is in another castle."
Chili is porridge.
Neighbors ate my zombies.
I got a dirt.
So when they say when life gives you a box of lemons, or a thing, or gives you lemons, make lemonade, in reality, lemons were made by man, so...
No, you're supposed to report, you're supposed to get life's lemons and talk to their manager or something like that.
I want your lemons.
Yeah.
But I'm going to burn your house down with lemons.
Got it.
But lemons are man-made, so... Life must be lemons. Really pissed.
We gave life lemons.
Yay, lemons.